Well, it is good to be here tonight. I was not with you this morning, but Brother Dan was with you and being able to hold those reins and preach that message while I was over in Columbia City, and Columbia City is doing well. Each one of our churches could use an uplift in, you know, in some different areas, and but they were there, and they seem to be doing well, but they getting ready to have their marriage conference coming up here in March. So I know some of you are going to be on that. And who was in the meeting that said they were going to have the sign-up list? Yes, Ashley. So if you're going to go to the marriage conference on March the 10th, you need to see Ashley. And before you sign your spouse up, talk to your spouse. I learned that a long time ago. Talk to your spouse so you both know that you're going to go, not just expect you to go. So that's good. We also are finishing up just a couple of things. We're finishing up our time of fasting. Our time of fasting ends this Wednesday, so Tuesday night at 6 p.m. through Wednesday night at 6 p.m. It is our last time of fasting. However, we are moving into a different stage into this peace. So I hope that you've had some experience with some fasting, but also that you will step into this new challenge that we have for the month of February. We're going to be going through a month of prayer partners. We're going to have prayer partners. So we are going to pray between this, Tuesday night at 6 p.m. through Wednesday night, 6 p.m. All we ask is that you find someone and you make a moment to where you can do it on the phone, whatever, that you set up a time on each Tuesday. If you want to do it daily, that's great. And actually, I think, is that what we came up? That's what we came up with, daily. I'm sorry, daily. Daily, that you pray with this person daily, not the Tuesday, Wednesday. I was thinking of the fast. But every day through the month of February, was it Tuesdays? Okay, Tuesdays, okay. Ben does it every day. So it's on Tuesdays and Wednesdays that you pray, okay? If you want to pray more, you can, all right? So you need to find a prayer partner, all right, through the month of February, all right? So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's what we were a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about spiritual warfare. Man, my mind is all over the place because I got other things on my mind. So, Lord, Father, we just ask your presence to be with us tonight. Lord, I pray, Father, you keep my mind focused upon what I need to stay focused upon and not wander off on these things that are upon my mind right now. We ask it in your name. Amen. All right, so we're talking about spiritual gifts, not spiritual warfare, spiritual gifts. And so we're talking, last week we talked about several spiritual gifts. I went through them very fast. Did anybody take a survey online, find a survey online about spiritual gifts? Okay, I'll challenge you. I'll try to find one. Maybe if you're interested, I'll email you one. You can kind of look at them, but online you can do one, and they'll give you something there. It doesn't mean that you have that gift, but it might point that you may have that gift. And remember that spiritual gifts are not something that as soon as you become saved, that you got this big, wonderful package, you unwrap it right there and then. God allows it to become known to us when he sees to be known. There's a lot of different interpretations, and many times in certain ones of these, some of these we'll talk about tonight, because some of these spiritual gifts, some denominations have leaned on certain spiritual gifts. Some denominations believe without certain spiritual gifts that you're not really in the will of God, which I definitely disagree with that. But we know that there are some denominations that believe that there are even some believe that you don't have some of these spiritual gifts and you're not even going to go to heaven, that you have a relationship with God. It is amazing that we look at so much on the outside, and Jesus says it is what is in the inside that he looks at. Amen. So we're going to look at a couple pieces in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These are a few of them that we've read before, but we're going to read them again, just a few. He says, verse 4, that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. We know that there are different spiritual gifts, but all these gifts are given to us from the Lord Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all of them. It amazes me that some people believe that their ministries are more important than others. It amazes me that some people believe their activities in their church are more important than the activities of other churches. If these gifts, these spiritual gifts, are given to us by the same Spirit, do you not think that God does not show favoritism? His Word says he does not show favoritism, so that we must know that the gifts that God's given to us are to be used for the edification, the uplifting of the church, of the believers. So he says, but the manifestation, verse 7, of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Our spiritual gifts are to lift up one another. Amen? They're to lift up and edify the church. All right? And he says, verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, the work of miracles, prophecy, discerning spirits, different kinds of tongues, another interpretation of tongues. But verse 11 says, but one and of the same Spirit works all these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Okay, so we're going to come back to a few of these here in just a few moments. But we're going to look at a couple of these where I left off a week ago. There's only like five tonight. And so we're going to look at these five. Okay, number one. It should be mercy. Mercy is, well, we read it, right? To be sensitive toward those who are suffering, whether physically, mentally, or emotionally, so as to feel genuine sympathy with their misery, speaking words of compassion, but more so caring for them whose deeds of love to help alleviate their distress. It's almost like most of us have a loving mother, not maybe not everyone, but a loving parent. It's like that loving parent and how much mercy they show their kids. They show that same mercy to everyone else. These are people who always look for they always look at compassion as being, compassion is always before them. Compassion is always on their lips. They're always defending others. They're always putting words in where other people are judging. They're trying to lift up. They're trying to give mercy. Where one person should receive this, they're saying, they're yelling out mercy. Mercy is something that we see in the church. This church has mercy. Now, could we be better with mercy? Of course. This church has somewhat of a gift of mercy. Is it at the high extreme as other churches? Maybe not, but it does have the spiritual gift of mercy. It is in my opinion that this church has the gift of mercy. And I say that because of our ministries flat out, okay? We have a soup kitchen, we have a women's shelter, we have another shelter that's getting ready to open up here in the summer. You can't do these ministries and not have the spiritual gift of mercy. Mercy is a beautiful gift. In fact, it's so beautiful that I have received mercy. And if you are a believer, you have received mercy from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen? God has given you mercy through his Son, Jesus Christ, allowing Jesus to come and die upon the cross for you and I, for the sins, for the remission of our sins by the shedding of his blood. So God has mercy. God has given us mercy. And God says it's so important that I want people in the church, there's going to be certain people in the church that he's going to touch and give and open up the beautiful gift of mercy. Sometimes mercy people can get in the way, though. So I always talk about a backlash. I should have talked about a backlash of all these gifts. It's not that there's a backlash with God, but in our flesh, we make it a backlash. And sometimes, I wish I would have thought about that earlier, but it is what it is. But there's a backlash in mercy. Sometimes people with mercy, we need mercy, we need that gift, flowing through New Life, and our churches need it flowing through the United States. We need mercy. We need the spiritual gift of mercy. Sometimes we need mercy in our own homes, amen? Sometimes we need mercy in our own homes. Sometimes mercy don't come out until God unpacks it in front of you as he calls you to a certain ministry. But the backlash part of mercy comes into place when mercy can get in the way of what God is trying to do. Remember when I was telling you last week that when somebody has the gift of giving, it kind of confused some people? That when God is disciplining someone, sometimes, because the Bible says that God disciplines those whom he loves, sometimes God is disciplining someone, but someone with a gift of mercy or a gift of giving is always giving away. And that's a cool thing, but there's something. But here it is. We need to pray when we exercise our gifts. Amen? So you can just keep giving your stuff away to people as giving, but you're not paying, you're using the gift, but you're not taking heed to what the Holy Spirit says. Same thing with mercy. There are times that mercy needs to be given, but there's other times we need to pull back on what we want to call mercy. That may sound odd, but sometimes we can get in God's way at times. Has God shown mercy to every person? Have we seen where God did not give mercy to people? Of course, we've seen that. When God would tell King David to go in and annihilate, or God would tell Joshua, go in, I want you to annihilate, I want you to destroy every living thing there. And that sounds horrible. And then other times God would say, allow them to. So the mercy has been shown in many different ways, but we need to be careful when we give it. But we do need people to have mercy, because people with mercy, this is what they do. They think about others before themselves. And this is where many of us struggle. So let me ask you, is there anybody here who has the gift of, the spiritual gift of mercy tonight? We have one. Okay. Does anybody have to get spiritual gift of mercy? Okay. Yeah, just raise it up there, Ed. Okay, so I just called out Ed. Okay, he's got spiritual gift of mercy. He's always thinking of others, okay? Now, anybody here feels like they have more mercy now than they used to? Okay, all right, Carla, all right. Yes, okay. So I believe Carla's came through working through ministry, where the ministry God unpackaged that in her, so mercy had kind of opened up through that. Prior to that, mercy was not her spiritual gift. It was not her spiritual gift. It was not at all, okay? All right, the next one, pastor. All right, we'll see this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, where some are called. So spiritual gifts are given, but this kind of taps into another area as well. But pastor is a calling, okay? Now we can get into some. I put it in here because I just want it to be in here, and it is a calling, okay? I believe that to be a pastor, God has to lay his hand, got to touch you, got to tell you, got to put the calling inside of you to preach his word, okay? Because that's a big part of pastoring, is preaching and pastoring and taking care of people. It's a calling. Some people believe it's a spiritual gift, but I'm throwing it in here because I believe it's a calling, spiritual gift. I believe God empowers the spiritual gifts with the pastor, but the pastor is a calling, okay? So he says to be responsible for spiritually caring for, protecting, guiding, and feeding a group of believers entrusted to one's care. Sometimes the pastor, that is a calling, there's a lot of guys that want to be pastors, but they're not called to be pastors, and don't work out. They usually don't last long. So there are teaching pastors, there's preaching pastors, there's pastors that care and love on people, but they're always about the people. Okay, sometimes pastors have to stand in front of people and in front of the church and give a bad report, or have to do what we want to. Sometimes we have to call someone out on certain things, and that becomes an ugly part. But sometimes when that happens, a pastor does that, and if he's doing it with the Holy Spirit, God many times protects, but sometimes it causes division in the church. The pastoral role is a very hard piece, because it's not something you just grow up and say, I want to be a pastor. That don't work. You have to be called to it. And to be called to it means that you have to surrender to it. And to surrender to the call of pastor is really, you're moving from believer to follower to disciple to a servant, okay? Your life is no longer yours. I mean, we say that as a Christian, but as a pastor, your life is really no longer yours. You surrender to the call, and God is going to use you as he sees fit, okay? And you, a pastor, will be a part of the people, and a lot of those responsibilities is preaching and teaching and all those. And here's the thing. God will equip that pastor usually with more than one spiritual gift, because he's going to need it. All right? What's the next one? 3, prophecy. Some people believe prophecies are over. Now, people say, oh, there's no more prophecies, because they believe that the prophecies, the only one that needs to be fulfilled is the second coming of Christ. But there's still things that I believe, and as I believe read through the scriptures, that God still, well, let's read it. To speak forth the message of God to his people, okay? The foretelling of God's will in your life. And sometimes people will give a prophetic piece about you. And you're like, yeah, right. And that ends up becoming true. You see, the truth is, a prophetic one from God always tells the truth. Okay? All right? I can give you an example. I knew this lady. I felt it. I knew this lady has somewhat of a prophetic piece in her. And when we were at the Lifehouse before we even owned it, we walked up there, and we prayed over. She said, "Well, we're going to pray over this." We prayed over it, and we didn't have the house at all at that time. We just prayed over it on the porch. And basically, we walked off, and she just stopped, and I noticed that she stopped, and I knew the Lord was working on her. And she said, "This." She says. She came up to me, and she says, as we were walking away, she says, God said you will have this house. This is where the Women's Life House will be, right here. And it's the only prophetic word that she's told me, but where are we located today? In that house. And I told her that. I said, well, we don't have the funds for it. She said, no, has nothing to do with the funds that you have, nothing happened to do with anything, but God has a timing for it, but it will be this house. And it ended up being that way. The prophecy is... I'll tell you, a lot of times you'll know it's awesome because sometimes these spiritual gifts, I was just talking to Dan about someone today, about spiritual gifts. When you have the spiritual gift of discernment, that helps you in a lot of ways knowing what's of God and what's not of God. Doesn't mean you won't have questions from time to time, but you work it out through prayer. So prophecy is a piece. Now, we see prophetic pieces all through the Bible, but you know all the prophetic pieces were not about the coming of Jesus or the return of Jesus. A lot of prophetic pieces were telling a prophet would come and tell a king something, hey, this is what's going to happen when you go out into battle. You're not going to make it because these are the things that happened to you because you did these things against the Lord. And God, many times the prophet would say this, God loves you, and God, because of the promise that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or through his son, King David, that he wasn't going to allow that prophetic piece to happen in his lifetime, but it would come down through his sons. So we know that some of these prophetic pieces are concerning the return of Jesus, but many of these are that we even have today, I believe, are other things as well. So the prophecy, now, if I ask if anybody had the gift of prophecy, anybody have the gift of prophecy? Now, we're in the Southern Baptist Church here. Now, this might shake up some of my people and some of my peers if they listen to this tonight, because some of them will be indifferent with me on these gifts. But here's my thing. Nowhere did it say that these would cease. And I know this, God can do anything. Amen? That's what I believe. Okay, the next one is teaching. Now, we've all been thrown in, many of us have been thrown into a teaching spot. And because we're thrown in a teaching spot does not mean that we have the spiritual gift of teaching. Sometimes we just get put into a teaching spot because we need to fill a role for that moment. And many times when people come up and says, don't ever put me in there again, that is not my spot. And that's okay. But we do need to fill spots from time to time. But teacher, to instruct others in the Bible in a logical, systematic way so as to communicate information for true understanding and growth. So basically, you're teaching the Bible. Does that mean that you know everything about the Bible? No. I believe I met one person who said, I think we know everything about the Bible. Well, when you do that, then you don't need God, right? I think God made it to be for us that we need to lean on God, we need to lean on his understanding and his Holy Spirit. But the gift of teaching doesn't mean that everybody that has the spiritual gift of teaching is always at a high level. If you're not using the gift, then the gift becomes rusty, okay? The gift becomes hard to use. But the spiritual gift is also, I want to just, this came to my mind. If you have the spiritual gift of teaching and you're not preparing for your teaching and you're winging it, you may get away with it for a moment. And there are times when you are just put in the spot. I get that. Hey, we need you to teach. When? Now. Okay, that's okay. We need you to teach next week. Okay, and then you get up to next week and you haven't studied and you say, well, I got the spiritual gift of teaching and I got it down. Let me tell you, God sees that. And that's not how we're supposed to use it. We're supposed to sharpen our skills. We're supposed to be right. We're supposed to be good. So teaching is not everybody's spiritual gift, but it is some. Anybody have the spiritual gift of teaching? We should have the spiritual gift of teaching. We probably have 6 or 7 in here. Okay? And notice that our spiritual gifts are balanced throughout. Okay, what's the next one? Speaking, tongues. Okay, here we go. To speak in a language not previously learned so unbelievers can hear God's message in their own language or the body to be edified. I want to read a scripture for you here tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. People always believe that these tongues are supposed to be used in services so we can be the uplifting of the Lord a lot. And I'm not going to fight against all that, but I'm going to tell you what the purpose of it is. Because these tongues came out during the time of the Holy Spirit, after the day of Pentecost. It says, verse 22, therefore tongues are for a sign. So remember, tongues are for a sign. Now I know that Carla has family down in Kentucky and they might just be against what I'm saying tonight. But therefore, tongues are for a sign. I shouldn't go to church to hear tongues. I should be stronger than that. Amen? I should be stronger in my walk in the Lord in that, knowing that I can come and my faith stands before me. And it's not that I need to come and hear, I don't need to hear tongues to move me into an emotional peace where I feel like I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm already filled with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not for those who believe. And that's become a problem. Not for those who believe, but to unbelievers. Okay? So basically, these tongues are not for to be shown to the believers, per se, but to unbelievers. Okay, it's a sign to them that God is real. This was a great time that God used this. But he says, prophesying is not for unbelievers. So we just went through prophesying. So prophesying is not for unbelievers, but tongues is. Prophesying is for those who believe. Okay? Because the prophetic piece is coming out. It's telling you something that God is going to do. An unbeliever don't catch that. But we as believers know when we hear God saying something that we believe that. So tongues is something that some of us believe tonight that and some of us may not. I'm at this place here. I just let God work on that. I'm not going to fight that battle. I have my own beliefs. But I'm not going to say that God's not doing it and using that from time to time. I'm not. Because it is amazing that I've heard people go through other countries and share the gospel and preach in front of hundreds of people or in a village or here or there. And somehow God allows somebody to understand everything that's going on. And they know English. They don't know the language. And how somehow that all comes together. I don't know how God does it, but he does it. But running in our American churches, running in and out, back and forth, thinking we're just going to do tongues, and I can't really go there. But I do know this. It is in the Bible, so I'm not going to completely cut it out. I can't do that. Now, that may go against some of the things in Southern Baptist, but here's the thing. I believe if you can speak in tongues, you can do it in your closet, you can do it with the Lord, and that's an amazing piece. There's scriptures there as well. But it is all about understanding and knowing. Because when we move into certain areas, he does say this. Verse 30 of chapter 12, he says this, do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I will show you even a more excellent way. And then he begins to go and showing him about the excellent way of love. Now what I want to do real quick is I want you to go all the way back to the top of these gifts real quick, Alan, all the way to the very first one. Now, I believe, if you are a believer here tonight, and if you're a believer here tonight, just lift your hand up, not be ashamed, say, you know what, I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. I know I was a sinner once, and now I'm a sinner saved by grace. I am a believer. Amen? Out of this list, God has given you something. Okay? God has given you something. Number one, we're going to move from really fast. Number one. Administration. Now here I want to see something here real quick. And I want us to be honest. I want us to be able to look up. And I want us to be able to say, I want you to look around. This isn't something to hide. Okay? Who here has the gift of administration? Lift it high. Okay, we got a couple. Okay, next one. The apostle. Anybody? Okay, next one. Celibacy. Next one. Discernment. Spiritual gift discernment. Lift it up, lift it up. Don't be ashamed. Okay, got it. All right, next one. Evangelism. Anybody here let anybody to the Lord? Anybody let anybody to the Lord? Lift your hand up if you let somebody to the Lord. Does that make you an evangelist? No, but y'all know how to share the gospel, right? Awesome. All right. Exhortation, which is encouragement. Who has the gift of encouragement? Okay. All right. Let me tell you something. If you ain't lifted your hand up, I'm going to ask you why by the end, okay? Faith. Who has the gift of faith? All right. Here we see some hands up. The gift of faith. Knowing that God can do all things, all right? No matter what it looks like. Giving. Who has the gift of giving? Bob, lift your hand up. All right. Okay. All right. Anybody else? The next one. Helps. Austin, lift your hand up. Okay. Helps. This is service. That's okay. Scott, yep. Do that. Yep. Alex, yep. Yep. Hospitality. We was on this one last week. Okay. We got one way over there. Okay. Hospitality. Okay. There we go. Okay. Now, does that mean that somebody don't take that position and don't have hospitality? May not know that they have the spiritual gift of hospitality, but they end up getting it, and then all of a sudden they just go crazy, and they're super good at it. God's unwrapping it. Okay? Next one. Knowledge. I'm looking right at knowledge. I'm sorry, knowledge. Who here has knowledge? Okay? That means you know about the Bible. Okay? You know how to use it. Okay? You know how to do that. All right? You're smart with what you got. Okay, leadership. We're developing leaders. That's what we're doing. Good. We've got a few in there. Okay. Mercy. Woo, we got some mercy. All right. Pastor. Got a few of those. All right. Prophecy. It probably is, but it hasn't come out yet. Me and Dan were just talking about this. This particular one, we were just talking about that. And the next one, teaching. We have 5 or 6 people, 7 people. Okay. And what? What else? Tongues? Nah. Tongues? Okay. All right. There are a few others that people believe in, those kind of things. Remember, spiritual gifts are different than talents, okay? Talents. Ashley has a gift of singing. Or she has a gift of talent of singing. But spiritually, it's not a spiritual gift, but it is a talent that God gives to us, okay? God's talent giving is huge. Some people are just super good with numbers. Some people are good with just different things. And so those things. So what we've looked at tonight and last week is that the spiritual gifts, God says this, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. So he says in the churches there are different gifts, okay, and talents. There's different ministries. We have those. And there's different activities in this church. We have joy, we have fusion, we have all that stuff. So we have that. But there's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, and it begins to go into knowledge and all these gifts and many, many more. But he says this, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he's pleased. God is doing stuff in this church, in the ministries and the activities and the diversities of all the things of the gifts. And he's also not just doing these things with the church, but he's also saying, you've got this spiritual gift, giving you this spiritual gift, giving you this spiritual gift for the uplifting of the church. Now, don't be upset if you feel like you only got one. Okay? You might have another one coming. How many of you feel like you have more than three? Okay. And that's going to come with pastoring, okay? It's going to come with pastoring, okay? It's going to come with that kind of leadership, okay? Sometimes in that deacon role of those kind of things, all right? But we need people in the church. Now, who here has not raised their hand for anything? I'm not going to call you out or whatever. Who here doesn't know what their spiritual gift is? Oh, Lord, just touch him tonight. Let him be honest tonight. Who here does not know? Lift it up, straight up. Straight up, okay. Lift it up, keep it up. I need to see who they are, okay? All right, Lisa? I don't know you, Juliet, not well enough yet, okay? And who was over here? Anybody over here? Okay, so your role is to try to find out and live your life as God wants you to live. As you get involved with activities and the ministries that God has, it will come out. I believe it will come out. I don't think we just say, Lord, what is it? And here it is. No, it's as the Bible says, you know, I'm like a deer panteth for water. You know, we need to seek the Lord out. And we can pray for these. We can pray for a gift. So I want to do this tonight. The Bible says that we can earnestly desire the best of the gifts. Now, I'm really going to stretch this out tonight because this was not on my agenda tonight, but I'm going to really stretch this out tonight, okay? Now I want you to think about the spiritual gifts. The Bible says we can desire a spiritual gift. But before we desire the spiritual gift, we need to know why we need the spiritual gift in some sense. We can't say that I want this because it makes me feel good. I want to be a pastor, or I want to be a teacher, or I feel like I want to do that. I want the spiritual gift of discernment so I can see angels and demons and know what's right and what's wrong and what's evil and what's good, just because I want to see. Believe me, you get there, you'll have a different story. My question for you tonight, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, or maybe you know what your spiritual gift is, what spiritual gift do you want? But remember, you need to know the reason for it. Do you want the spiritual gift of help? Do you want the spiritual gift of service? Do you want the spiritual gift of mercy? Do you want the spiritual gift of discernment? Do you want to be that one who encourages everyone and that one that just wants to encourage people, have the spiritual gift of encouragement? I believe that God says that we can ask for these things. You know what's so cool about it? We asked for the greatest gift already, didn't we? I did it when I was 12 and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And there was salvation in that experience. And there's no greater spiritual gifts to have. I needed the gift of salvation. But once we receive the gift of salvation, then We are growing up in our walk with Jesus, as we're trying to do here now. And so we need to be more knowing that when I walk by and I say, yeah, Phil's called to be a pastor, you know, I'm praying for, I've already told Phil there's a piece he needs to be praying for, a spiritual gift that he, that God, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will give to him, because he's going to need it. He's going to need the spiritual gift of discernment. He's just going to need it. Does that make every pastor a good teacher? I think some pastors are better teachers than others. It's like that. You know, it is what it is. But what is it that you would like to have? Now, there might be a few that we missed tonight. We missed miracles tonight. We didn't talk about miracles tonight. Does that mean I don't believe in miracles? Oh, I believe in miracles. But to have the spiritual gift of miracles is laying on hands and things happen to that. And do I believe that God can still do that? Of course I do. But I also believe that when men have that gift, there's a backlash on that in the flesh, that we have a tendency to become prideful. And we're now, you know, and so anyway, I think you know where I'm going with that. Anyway. So what spiritual gift does God have for you? So I think we can desire it. Desire a spiritual gift. There's one that I'm praying for right now. And I've asked God to, there's certain times with the spiritual gift of discernment that I've asked God to heighten it, to raise it at another level, because I need it at another level to get through some things. And I think God does that. And why would God do that? Because you're his servant. You're his piece that you're the instrument that he's using here. So my prayer for you tonight is that you desire the spiritual gift that God has. And if your spiritual gift, you haven't been using it, it's getting a little rusty, ask God to restore that into your heart and start reusing that. And you know what it means to do all that? Just get your heart right with God. Amen? But God has a spiritual gift for you. And it's not for you. It's just for you to have, to uplifting and to help the church and help the people. All right? So let's take a moment and stand. And if your life isn't right with God, I'd be the first to say, get your life right with God first. But if your life is right with God tonight, maybe make that moment to come down and say, Lord, help me with this spiritual gift. I think you've given this to me, but I'm not sure if you have. Can you just really let me know that this is the one I have? Because I want to use it in the church. Doesn't mean I don't get involved in other things in the church, but it's the area that you should excel in. And that might be something to think about. Where do you excel in when it comes to the things of the Lord? Do you excel as a teacher?